So the data that I'm going to be presenting on is kind of the qualitative data from the project that Dr. Martinez-Tyson just explained to you. And I have no relationships to disclose. So I feel like we already have been talking about this for the past hour, and wanted to just tell you why it is important to study the to learn about the cancer experience of Latino men with the cancer experience of Latino men and how they cope with cancer. And that's important because cancer is the leading cause of death among Hispanics, and it has been estimated that 1 in 2 men will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. And like Evelyn and Dr. Martinez-Tyson talked about, cancer affects the health-related quality of life of Latino men, and on top of the negative physical and emotional burden of the disease, they also face health disparities in language and cultural barriers. And unfortunately, we have little information about their experience. So I'm going to be presenting on the coping strategies utilized by Latino men, and I'm going to use as a guiding framework just to present the results. I'm going to be using the cognitive stress theory, but we didn't use this theory for data collection. It's just to organize the findings. So coping is defined as the cognitive or behavioral efforts used by individuals to manage a stressful situation, and it falls into 2 categories: emotion-focused and problem-focused coping. Emotion-focused coping is mainly, it aims to change the thoughts and feelings associated with the stressor, in this case the cancer diagnosis or the treatment side effects. And you can either deal with those emotions by facing it or by avoiding it. The other category is problem-focused coping, which involves solving or changing the stressor directly. The coping strategies used by Latino men has been found to be influenced by their culture. Like coping strategies are socioculturally mediated, and among Latinos that's not different. So we have values like spirituality and families, and that has been found to influence how Latinos cope with cancer. So the data that I'm presenting is qualitative data from these 3 different phases of the study that Dr. Martinez-Tyson went through. And we used data from the focus groups plus the debriefing notes and field notes that we took along throughout the study. And we applied thematic analysis to summarize the findings from all 3 different phases of the study. Okay, so during focus groups, the participants will start off by the discussion by giving sort of a summary of their cancer experience, like what led to diagnosis, sources of worry about related to treatment and treatment side effects, and also any remarkable incidents during their treatment phase. And then we realized as we continue with the study that during cognitive interviews and when we were administering the casein, even though those were closed-ended and structured interviews, the participants always found a way to tell us about what we're starting to refer as their cancer story. And they would talk about personal experience. And it's like they wanted somebody to hear what they went through. It seemed to them that it was important to them for us to get the background information. And then from the analysis, we identified 2 main overarching themes, which were reaction to cancer diagnosis, basically how they appraised the diagnosis, and the coping strategies, which is what the things they were doing to cope with the diagnosis and the treatment. So for reactions to diagnosis, the main one reported by survivors was shock. And then this quote illustrates kind of illustrates that if the diagnosis fell on me like a bomb. My experience is that when the doctor tells you the word cancer, one feels that life has fallen out from under you. But the most common reaction to the cancer diagnosis was acceptance. The men seemed to appraise cancer diagnosis as a challenge, and they absorbed the diagnosis matter-of-factly. So their reaction was, okay, I have cancer, what can I do now? How can I treat it? Let's do something about it. They were ready to start dealing with the situation. I'm not going to stay laying down in bed, waiting on time to go by. I'm going to get up to see what can be done. The participants also talk about fear, but the interesting thing about fear, they understand that it is a common reaction to diagnosis, but they talk about it mainly as a reaction from their family members. So this quote here, when my family found out that I had cancer, they called me as if I were on my last day. And I think the idea of the fear is mainly with the association between cancer diagnosis and death. And then the patients, they talk about how they had to reassure their family members. They were the ones diagnosed with cancer, but they were the ones kind of like supporting their family members and making sure that they knew that they were going to be fine. And this quote says, calm down, there is treatment for this and nothing has happened to me yet. And this was a cancer survivor talking to his daughter-in-law who started crying when she learned about the diagnosis. And they seemed to understand why their family members were afraid. And something that they talk about, that they knew what was happening to them, but the uncertainty was that their family were facing was bigger because they didn't know, they were not the ones feeling what they were feeling. Oops, sorry. So I'm gonna start talking about coping mechanisms now, and these are some of the forms of coping that Latinos use, and I'm gonna go through those individually quickly. So reframing was the main, the next thing after the shock from the diagnosis. And the men start formulating a positive attitude toward diagnosis, treatment, and prognosis. And then we have, but like I said, I have not let myself fall apart. For me, I have taken this diagnosis deportivamente, and if I have to continue living with cancer, I will continue living with cancer. Participants consistently expressed the idea that maintaining a positive attitude and not letting oneself fall apart were key to surviving cancer. Also, a positive versus a negative reaction, a positive versus a negative attitude was widely discussed by the participants. And the way they perceived it was as if having a positive attitude was a deciding factor between overcoming cancer or losing the battle against the disease. This is not a death sentence. It's the attitude one adopts towards the disease that causes death. And then participants also emphasized their need for family members to proceed with calm and a positive attitude. And this patient was telling his wife, the more you cry, the more disease you're bringing to me. It's like, you need to calm down and have a positive attitude, otherwise this is not going to work. And then humor was also important, and throughout focus group and during the interviews, they would make jokes about the side effects and how they were trying to make other laughs just to stay positive and strong. Social support was another coping strategy that participants talked about, indicating its importance to their well-being. And they talked about how their wives were the main source of instrumental support. They talk about how their wives looked after them, nursed them, made the medical appointments, went to the doctors with them, and especially how they were a source of strength. My experience has not been too negative because through it all, I had the strength of my wife, which has helped me a lot. They also turned to their providers for assurance and biomedical advice. And the doctor's attitude also seemed to have an important factor to how they react to the diagnosis and how they cope with the disease. And this is a quote from a patient talking about his provider. "I really like the doctor's attitude. If this medicine does not cure you, I will find another one that will. Do not worry. Every 6 months, there is something new for this disease." So when we're talking about problem-focused coping, taking control and making changes is one of the forms of this coping strategy. And the way we see it is like the participants were making changes to their diet. They talk about making changes as a way to feel like they were in control. They talked about modifying their diet, eating healthier, removing food items that they perceived were not good for cancer survivors to eat, and they also took supplements. They talked about being more physically active. "I was feeling bad. I told myself, I'm not going to, and then I started going outside, and I started jogging and walking. And then having fun, divertirse, was something that they taught as important as well. And they also mentioned having a social life and having people around. Another coping strategy was using natural remedies. They talked about several different home remedies that they used. Aloe vera and guanabana sour soap were remedies they talked the most about. They also mentioned scorpion venom, and they'll get that from Cuba. They would ask, they start using home remedies that they learned from other cancer survivors, but they would also ask providers in their home countries and family members. And they use home remedies as a complement to the treatment, not as an alternative. And the main reason was to help them with side effects more than the cancer diagnosis. Spirituality was very important throughout their cancer since diagnosis. For them, faith was very important regardless of religious affiliation. And they talk about how God plays a central role, and the way they see it is a God that's going to determine their fate. And this quote is, "One has to have faith. Lack of faith is what one needs to have." And they would always, when talking, they would always use this gracias a Dios or thanks to God every time they were talking about their side effects not being too bad or the treatment working for them. I think I need to put my papers here. Sorry about that. So this quote here, "Primero Dios, después el médico y detrás le sigo yo." The translation to that would be, "First God, then me, then the doctor, sorry, and then me." And it kind of summarizes this idea that God is going to determine how whether they survive this disease and if they're going to get better. And then what the doctor and the biomedical treatment can do for them, but also, and equally important, what they can do for themselves. And it gives them that sense of agency and empowerment that they were doing their part also. So we can conclude that, for the most part, these Latino men were using positive coping strategies. Some negative coping strategies are denial, behavioral disengagement, using alcohol and other substances, and none of the participants reported that. And like I said, it seems like using these strategies helped them to feel empowered. And also, the coping strategies, we see that they seem to be consistent with the needs that participants identify during focus groups, like the need for more information about how to stay healthy after treatment, and it kind of goes with them changing their diet, being more physically active, using home remedies, just to kind of feel that need that they identify that they are they're not getting help with it. So they're kind of like helping themselves. And it also relates to that need for a more comprehensive survivorship care that goes beyond just the treatment phase. So we think this, the findings from this quantitative analysis of immersion themes can help us understand the different ways Hispanic men cope with cancer. And we also think that this information can be used to inform the development of evidence-based psychosocial services, and most importantly, building on the strength and strategies that these men are using to cope with the disease. Thank you.